you know, we talk a lot about attitudes towards police, and every community is going to have a different attitude, and every person is going to have a different attitude. You know, we wish police really lived up to serve and protect, and many of the men and women do. You know, it's interesting. My son was doing a school project over the weekend, and he had to do, the project was, they had to do a, do you remember the William Blake poem, Tiger, Tiger, Burning Bright in the Forest of the Night? What a mortal hand or eye could create thy fearful symmetry, about a tiger who's so beautiful. And Blake was kind of asking, how could God create something so beautiful but was a killing machine? And they had to write a kind of poem about it. And one of the, my son and a couple of others wrote about the Black Lives Matter movement, and from the perspective of a young African-American boy looking at the police officer on George Floyd. And the poem was Officer, Officer, and it was powerful. And he just inhabited this voice to understand that. It's a big issue in their school. And it was so fascinating, the discussions we were having about police. And I said, well, what do you think? And he said, you know, Dad, for you and I, we have a different view of police than many, many people who are scared of the police. And in his poem, he was imagining what this kid was saying. Like, how could, you're supposed to hear and serve and protect. And I think one of the rhymes was, and yet here you are kneeling on someone's neck. It was so powerful. My wife cried when she heard it. And then Shachi Curl sends me, the president of Angus Reid Institute, the great polling institute, sends us a poll that they've done saying 39% of Canadians have a, quote, serious problem with how police interact with people of color. And just one of those moments where, you know, your kid is telling you something and then a poll is done and it literally reflects reality. And Shachi joins us now. Hi, Shach.
Hey, Evan.
So, you know, I have this anecdotal conversation with my son over the weekend. Tell me what you guys found quantitatively in your survey.
So this is a pretty significant and big survey. It's actually so big we broke it into two parts. And I would say that if anybody wants to get, you know, the whole thing, please go to angusreid.org, first of all, because there's more in there that you and I, Evan, will have time to talk about. But I think there's a couple of really big takeaways here. First of all, in Canadian communities, nearly 30% of people in their own community believe that there is a serious problem with the way police interact with people of color, black people, indigenous people, and that not only is it happening, that it is a serious problem where they live. More than that, beyond that, another big, big takeaway is the fact that two-thirds of Canadians do see the RCMP as being systemically racist, as having a problem with systemic racism. And, of course, that's something that the commissioner has been dealing with, grappling with, responding to in recent days, given the behavior and the response out of Nova Scotia. Most recently, it's not like this is new to them. But, you know, this has been a summer, Evan, so defined by the types of protests that we've seen around defund and Black Lives Matter, and then you've got, you know, counter protests and counter movements with people saying Blue Lives Matter.
Right.
Canada's actually really reasonably divided on a lot of these issues, and it's the same demographic breaks that divide us. So where you live, are you in a city? Are you in an urban area or a rural area? Are you over the age of 55 or under the age of 34? Are you someone who leans conservative in your political views, or are you someone who leans left and center-left and votes NDP or Liberal? All of those things bear a lot of weight in how we view these issues. But there is one thing that we actually find a little slice of consensus on, Evan, and that is the fact that people do feel that it is a worthwhile investment to double down on more social spending, more spending around mental health teams, crisis teams, to not only help people in the community and ensure that people are not in crisis so that they are calling 911 and getting sometimes really violent and or tragic fatal responses, but also so that police are not entirely on their own when they go and respond to these things, because they're trained to go in it and look at these situations from a public safety perspective, from a law enforcement perspective. They're the first people to say, we're not social workers. And there is a desire to say, okay, well, let's actually put some of those systems and bolster them, get them in place. That's really the only thing we really agree on as a nation. And you know, when it comes to the intersection between race, policing, use of force, abuse of power, accountability.
And the survey is called Defend or Defund. How do you define defund, Shachi Curl?
We ask the question very, very clearly, Evan Sullivan. You know how to write a headline same as I do. So the report's called Defend or Defund. But when we ask the question of Canadians, think about police in your community, where you live. Do you think that the budget for policing in your community is too much and should be cut a little? Is it about right? Or is it too little and it should be added to? That's the question we ask. Very clear.
Right.
And it really came down to a matter of money on that question.
But interesting, the divides. In rural communities, they're half as likely to say there's a serious problem with how police interact with Canadians of color. In urban centers, totally different, right? There's really a lot of breakdowns on this. Shad, I don't know if you want to stick around. In a minute, I'll throw to a commercial. And I want to throw to our listeners, do you think there are issues with how police deal with people of color? 1-855-633-1010, 1-855-633-1010, or 71010. Shachi Curl, the president of Angus Reid Institute, has dealt with this. Where are the problems? Who are the people that have the highest levels of maybe distrust, concern, worry?
Absolutely. So people fall roughly into four buckets in this country. So the top two buckets are pretty pro-police. And the first bucket's super pro-police. We call them the true blue. The next group are the silent supporters. They are silently supporting police. Then you've got ambivalent observers who definitely note some problems with racism in the ranks of police, but they're not very vocal about it. And then you've got the defunders. The defunders actually represent about a third of the Canadian population today. They are most likely to be found in Ontario, most likely to be found in the city of Toronto. And
wow.
These are the folks who are absolutely firmly of the view that race is a problem, that abuse of force is a problem, and the only solution to this is to cut police budgets. Where else do you find people more inclined to feel this way? You find them in Winnipeg, in Manitoba. You find them in Nova Scotia. Halifax has obviously had some problems. And in Nova Scotia, we know what's been going on there. Where are you least likely to find these people? Alberta and Saskatchewan. So that goes back to that rural-urban divide. But interestingly, you know and I know, Evan, that so many of the flashpoints for these types of situations actually occur in rural Canada.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing. Shach, what does this all tell you if you're a political leader trying to deal with this? What is the sort of take-home message here?
You know, I look at those demographic cuts. I look at young people who are increasingly less trusting, more skeptical of taking a look at cops, police with a much more jaded eye. I say, okay, we've got a problem with these folks in terms of how they perceive police. I look at where populations are growing. Again, they're growing in the cities. So that's where I'm, you know, if I'm a policymaker, I'm saying that's the next generation of citizens. You can't have the next generation of citizens really looking at the people who are supposed to serve and protect them and enforce laws with that level of cynicism. And I would say that's where the work has to be done.
Shachi Curl, I appreciate you joining us on a fascinating new survey. The lines are lit up. Text calls are coming in. Hi, Evan. I'm a 60-year-old upper middle class professional white woman, and even I have had ignorant and dismissive interactions with the police. I can't even imagine how horribly BIPOC, Black, Indigenous people of color have been treated. I am not shocked by this survey at all. I'm not shocked either. Just for the record, I'm saddened, of course, as we should be. Hi, I'm a First Nations person. Let's be honest. In Canada, First Nations people are much more likely to have race issues with police. I've lived in Winnipeg, Montreal, Quebec, Edmonton, and Ottawa. Let's be clear, First Nations people are treated much worse than anyone else. The stats do bear that out in terms of incarceration rates. Carding studies, the STAR has done carding studies in Toronto. People of color visible minorities, absolutely, Indigenous Canadians, absolutely get treated differently. And again, I am not trying to besmirch. There may be many men and women who are police officers listening to me right now. And to those of you who are putting your lives on the line, I'm not trying to besmirch you. There are people who wake up, they kiss their kids goodbye, they go out, they do their job, and they're working hard. And for those of you police officers who are listening to me right now and who are doing your job and putting your lives on the line and serving and protecting, I get it. And I know you're putting in sometimes in impossible positions. You're asked to deal with people who have mental health issues, and that's not your job, but the system has downloaded that responsibility onto you. I get that. I don't think that this is a simple thing, and I certainly don't want to besmirch the hardworking average police officer who is doing their job. But that does not mean that we can't talk about systemic issues that happen, and those are also incredibly real. This is true, Evan. Believe me, it made me think. I was in Walmart shopping. A young black person around five, a young boy, and his father were leaving the store. I was right beside them. The father all of a sudden said, hurry, started to run. The boy turned to his father and said, what's wrong? Is it the police? I couldn't believe it. It would have been the last thing I would have thought of, but the young boy was afraid of the police. Let's take some calls. Andrew, you're on the line. What's up?
Yeah, hi, Evan. Like I always say that statistics don't operate in a vacuum, and I think that's part of the problem with this discussion, is I think that the discussion on race has hijacked the larger issue. And you said earlier the statistics support certain things, but they're not operating in a vacuum. Mental health and addiction is the key underlying issue here. The police are ill-equipped to deal with those situations. And I read on both sides. I read an article by Desmond Cole, and he buried in his article the fact that the people he was talking about in terms of their interactions with the police, that 70% of them they had mental health or addiction issues. That is the bigger issue. And I feel bad for people with mental health and addiction problems that the overall discussion of policing is being hijacked by the race issue.
Yeah, let me just say something. It's both. What I take push back on you is one's, quote, hijacking another. They're both real issues. Look, I have talked about the Abdurrahman Rabi situation in Ottawa, mental health, but also a person of color. Solomon Fakiri, who was 11 days in a correctional facility and was killed. And so it is both. Like, one thing I think we should be very, very careful of is saying, oh, this issue is hijacking that issue. There are two things going on, sometimes together, and they're both very real. And I don't know the Desmond Cole article. I've read Des's book, and I've spoken to Desmond Cole before and a number of times, and he's made some powerful, powerful, persuasive arguments. But again, it's true that, you know, there are statistics, good and damn lies. I understand that saying, but you can't dismiss the stats about incarceration rates for people of color. You can't dismiss the statistics about carding and being pulled over. You cannot dismiss this stuff, but it's true. I don't want to pretend that the mental health issue, as I said, is a massive issue, Andrew, and I very much appreciate your call. I just don't believe one's hijacking the other. I think they're both functioning and actually making it worse. So I appreciate the call. Here's more from 71010, and again, more from 1-855-633-1010. 1-855-633-1010. And if you're a police officer listening, you don't want to identify yourself, call in if you can. Because I'm interested in all the voices in this, because we've got to talk. We've got to have this conversation, not just, you know, yell at each other. It's no surprise rural areas would be pro-police or deny the existence of racism. Just look at the demographics. Again, every part of our country, and if you've had the good fortune, are different. You know, the demographics in Saskatchewan are different than in Ontario. But yeah, there's going to be those normal breakdowns, even though you see in rural areas some different incidents. Mark, you're on the line. What's up?
Hi. Thanks for having me. I just wanted to just point out just with some of the issues, even with the last caller. I understand that I wouldn't say that the whole thing is being hijacked when there are issues with mental health, because I do understand that. I think two things can be right, but there is a large issue when it comes to the police and when it comes to harassment of the Black or Indigenous or the minorities. I am a person of color, so I have firsthand experienced certain situations when it came to that. Regardless, even if I didn't have a criminal record or anything, there'd be situations, even with my friends who are not of minority, I just felt a difference from when I was even the way I was being treated just with them at the same time. So I understand the statistics and everything with what's going on, but it doesn't completely show everything that's what's going on in the communities. And I think people need to wake up a little bit more about what's going on in these communities, because they are good cops and they are bad cops, right? But there is something that's going on in the community where they are targeting people of minority, because I have been around Canada, and at the same time, I've seen like the same situations going on like all around. Yeah. So,
Mark, I appreciate the call. I only got 90 seconds here, and I know Malcolm's also on the line. But, Mark, just one thing, there are good cops and bad cops. You're 100% right. I don't want this to be a case of, quote, the bad apple, though. I think the systemic issue is very real. Malcolm, I don't have a ton of time, but go for it.
No, it's, yes, I'm a Black guy, and my experience with a cop, I was just saying that I went to pick up some at the playground food for my buddies. I made a U-turn on the road, and the cop, this guy, he drove up behind me, and he came up, get out of the car, you know? And I'm in a soft voice, I said, why, you know? In any case, he put his hand to his hip. He says, people like you came here and you're destroying the playground and all sort of thing. I said, in what way are we doing this, you know? In any case, I'm staying calm. And interestingly enough, on the other field, there was a white guy that follows us. And there was a car and the same cop with his attitude towards me. But I felt sorry for the guy because I think, you know, it's just right. A matter of learning lessons with different people.
Yeah, listen, these are powerful experiences. Thanks for sharing, by the way, your experience. I'm glad we're talking about it. This is real. And we gotta pay attention and listen to each other. And we gotta move towards a better system. And that's a big political discussion.